Dawn.
Left.
And thank you. And through the chair, very, very important considerations and ones we certainly have been thinking about in terms of working with our federations on this work. We, certainly, as we standardize, tools and devices, voice is important, but, we feel we have some support in the direction we're moving, with adopting a more standard platform for virtual learning or for blended learning.
Joined.
And we would, we'll continue to have the conversation, and that's part of the work that would occur after this meeting is to then continue to engage federations in this work.
Thank you, Superintendent Torrance. Dawn, do you have any further questions?
I do, and I only caught part of that, but I can go back and listen to the recording. I'm sorry, I hung up instead of hitting mute. So I wanted to also mention that I appreciate that we're receiving data in a number of different ways, and we weren't able to do the specific 21st century learning consultation that we planned due to the labor actions that happened this year. And so we're using that thought exchange as an opportunity to collect information from parents and now from students. I wanted to maybe caution that the feedback from the thought exchange is about distance learning and not specifically about digital learning in the regular classroom environment. So how are we learning from that, but also being mindful that we can't directly correlate that to what would be effective in a live classroom?
Thank you, through the chair. In reviewing the thought exchange data, bias. The notion of bias was an important filter. So looking at vividness bias, the experience someone or recency bias, the experience of someone in the last few days can very much bias, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but influence how someone would have reported, and notions of confirmation bias where people are reporting on what they believe. So When we looked at the data, we were really trying to narrow down what we could see to be transferable. So when I was hearing from parents strongly that one digital platform is ideal, very frustrating to have every teacher who works with my children use a different platform. That's the type of data that we could only receive, I would suggest, or comes through very in a strong way, because we've been in this situation. So I would consider data of that nature to be quite valuable. And also hearing teachers and trying to understand one of the strands around support was around support professional learning and adopting tools. So again, we could extract from that what was working and what wasn't working in terms of how we were preparing and providing professional learning to our educators. So we tried really, knowing that this is an extraordinary and frankly an emergency situation, we tried to strain out, not a great metaphor, I apologize, but strain out some of the comments that might have been really influenced more by the situation and look for ones that we could see as transferable without just, again, confirming our own biases and hearing what we wanted to hear.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So we are being asked to approve this strategy today, recognizing that it is in draft format and that further work will be done on it over the summer, and it will come back to program. I do see a lot of what we would like to do in this draft, but I'm not sure that I'm seeing as much of the how we will do it as I might like when I'm approving a strategy. So some key questions would be, what does this look like in terms of our finances, our budget, our investments, our ongoing spending? What does this look like, and how might it look different in each grade versus our current funded model that we have? Do we have any answers for that, or at what time would that come to trustees? I'm not sure I'm comfortable, you know, getting behind a strategy without having those details.
Thank you, through the chair. I'll start with the question of budget, and we know that with the any 21st century learning strategy, certainly concerns around devices and budget come to the forefront. Hence the part of the recommendation around setting that January, February meeting date, where, as we did this past year, we can provide information to the committee around any budgetary impacts. The budgetary landscape or situation around this strategy is unchanged from February and then through the budgeting process. So we do have our one-to-one iPads and device kits from grades 4 through 8. They've been budgeted for. We have added some iPads already as part of our response to an equity response in terms of some families did not have access to technology or Wi-Fi. So there are no significant budget implications to begin in September professional learning budgets when they are online. That embedded nature of the strategy with other strategies then mitigates a large additional expenditure. So it is January, February of 2021, where if we are making recommendations in terms of devices or additional budget requests related to this strategy, that is when that would occur. This draft strategy is really to show the it's a conceptual framework, I would call it, in terms of at a high level, it shows our thinking on two pages, and now our work with the consent of the committee as a program team in a wider organization would then be moving into implementing, how do we support a blended teachers in adopting a blended learning environment? How do we make sure that our schools have those that are modern and that they're equipped in the way that we feel they need to be equipped? And how do we, we've built a few resources already, but how do we demonstrate to teachers how they can, in a developmentally appropriate way, provide the, or start to develop the competencies and skills in students? So some of that work would happen over the summer, and some of that work would be in that, in year one being installation. It's really about bringing additional staff awareness and building some of the resources to really move implementation forward in years 2 and 3.
Thank you. So trustees would have the opportunity to understand, review the recommendations for any additional spending if that is required, and that would happen in January, 2021, correct?
Yeah, that's certainly the intent of having that update meeting to provide that opportunity to identify for staff to make any recommendations or bring information forward that may have an influence on the budget process through finance and facilities.
Okay, thank you for that. The other question I have, we are looking at this as an opportune time given the situation we're in. Would you say, or maybe it's not in there yet, but is there something in this strategy that looks at how we might use our modern classroom, use digital tools to improve regular communication with parents as partners in education?
And through the chair, that is work that, although may not be necessarily as evident within the document, it's part of a wider work that program has been working with our communications and community engagement division in terms of As we work towards standardized tools, how are we using those standardized tools to communicate with parents more effectively, more regularly, and in a way that is safe and secure? So one of the benefits of moving to a standard blended learning platform would be moving away from having any, I'm going to call it a third-party app or method of communicating with parents that may not be as secure and private as we would want. So having a board tool provides that, but then a board tool then allows us to, really work with educators in terms of how much and how they are continuing to work with parents in terms of communication.
Okay, thank you. I'm happy to hear there's an awareness there that and an opportunity there. And then I think this is relating to the question that Trustee Miller had. I guess I have some concern about what it means operationally in kindergarten in grades 1 to 3 where we don't currently have class kits, where parents might be concerned about screen time. And so I'm curious to know, where did my question go?
Joined.
Too many different pages. I'm curious to know when we get feedback on digital learning for K to 3 through Thought Exchange, have we teased that out, and how might we collect data on that early on in this process? Because I do think that there are different ages, but you've mentioned the importance of being age appropriate for skill development. There may be times when it is more important to work on digital skills versus other times where it's more important to work on other skills. So is there an opportunity for us to get more concrete feedback on how parents feel about that, how staff feel about it in K to 3?
And through the chair, certainly we, at a future meeting, we could bring some information forward in terms of that. Our sense is parents are, or through Thought Exchange, parents did provide some feedback in terms of, how challenging or how much work it could be with their children, younger children, in terms of navigating some digital platforms and made some recommendations. So we're very aware of that. Our thinking is at this point, is that blended learning or acquiring the digital skills is not perhaps a heavy emphasis in K to 3, but it's something that we support educators in creating some experiences. So when we provide an update, we can provide exemplars of that. We do want kids to have some initial skills, especially in terms of the competencies around citizenship and being able to keep themselves safe in terms of some of the digital skills. But how we do that is going to be very much tailored to them developmentally. And certainly, as mentioned, 4 through 8 again will look significantly different than K-3.
Thank you. So I'll just finish with a thank you to staff for really taking this opportunity. We're in a difficult time, but to learn from it and to build on it as we move forward. So thank you for answering my questions.
You're welcome.
Thank you for those questions, Trustee Danko. I'll look now to Trustee Archer. Do you have any questions or comments?
No questions at this time. I just want to say thank you for the report. I enjoyed reading it.
All right, thank you very much. Trustee Johnson, do you have any questions or comments?
No, I think much of this discussion has been captured tonight or in, previous updates either from the director. So it is something that we have certainly been talking about all along. I think that with regards to the plan for September, actually, I do have one question, because if I'm reading the report correctly, you'll be coming back to the committee in July, August. Is that correct? Are we planning a special committee or?
Superintendent Torrens?
Oh, and through the chair, my apologies for lack of clarity. My intention there was to ensure that that we shared and communicated what a final strategy document would look like prior to the start of the academic year, just to keep the committee apprised, and so they're not seeing it or hearing about it other than directly with the staff who prepared it tonight and presented this evening.
So just for clarity, so are you sending something out to us in July, August, or I'm not clear how you'll be connecting with the committee over the summer?
So my intention, through the chair, the intention was to share a document electronically via email.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a meeting per se, it would be more of an FYI?
Exactly, an awareness, so just for awareness, so you're not caught off guard as a committee.
Okay, and I appreciate the way the model is divided out between the competencies, the model learning environment, and the digital skills. I know that's something that Trustee Danko had talked about in the past in terms of, having the different categories. So appreciate that. And then I also appreciate the responses tonight on the early learning. I know that's something that both parents have flagged as well as their teachers. So I appreciate the remarks around that tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for those questions, Trustee Johnston. I am going to add myself to the speakers list. And I apologize during Trustee Danko's questions. My husband had turned on the van and it picked up my Bluetooth and my son kept turning off my phone call. So if any of my questions have already been answered, just feel free to let me know that and I will move on to my next. So I was curious what the process looks like at this point for determining which apps, which websites, which platforms are going to stick around. So that was a major point made during the thought exchange by parents in particular, that there were so many different things that they needed to help their kids manage, especially the more kids there were, the more kids that there was no set protocol. They could be using 17 different websites or apps or platforms. So what does that process look like for determining what apps, what websites, what platforms we're going to keep?
And thank you, and through you, the chair. So we although we call it the hub, we're using the provincial learning management system, Brightspace, from Desire to Learn, D2L. So it is our board learning management system. So that's our starting place for our digital platform. And we're working to with IIT, where Teams, Microsoft Teams, which is more of a communication collaboration platform, how these two work together in a seamless way to be our blended learning space. But certainly D2L will be our main platform. It has the provincial mandate to do so. We've been using it with a high level of success in our e-learning programming now for more than a decade, and we've been recognized internationally for our innovation in using that. So that is a solid decision made in terms of continuing with a tool that literally hundreds of our educators were using prior to distance learning. Teams is a little newer. In terms of apps, although not with us this evening, I do give great credit to our research and analytics division, who is working with colleagues and privacy officers throughout the province in creating a process to vet apps for pedagogical usefulness or as a teaching and learning usefulness, but also their safety, security, and privacy. So we're actually narrowing. We've already cut our app catalog down significantly, and we're using that lens of having distinct apps that we think have good teaching and learning use, and but also having strong security and privacy components to it, and removing duplication. So our past practice really was we grew our app catalog to be quite large, and we had a number of apps that frankly duplicated themselves. And so some of the behind the scenes work within this strategy certainly will be getting that app catalog cut down significantly. And then that's the step one. The step two is then demonstrating to educators, well, you may have used something else or liked something else. This is how you can use this app or this platform to really engage kids and support student learning. So with any work around narrowing our app catalog or naming the platform needs to come with a robust amount of professional learning. Not as much about how to use it technically, but how to use it as a teaching tool and what tasks it can do with students as a teaching tool.
Okay, thank you very much.
Becky, sorry, I have another question, if that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, as we develop this strategy, it's just around, I think, what Becky was saying around evaluation tools. Are we going to see that as part of the strategy? Because there's going to be, whether new apps or tools or learning that comes at us probably fast and furious as we're seeing it. So just as part of the strategy, are we going to see how we're going to evaluate these and look at new tools that are coming online? And the other question I had was also around, do we know if there's going to be a provincial standard? And the reason I ask is just students coming from other boards, is there going to be any consistency between boards, or is it up to each board to develop the tools and that they're going to use?
Thank you, and through the chair, I'll start with the last question. I would suggest that Brightspace D2L, which we call the hub, as I mentioned, is that provincial standard tool. And from the beginning of the closure period, the Minister of Education and communication from the ministry was built around this is available to all Ontario students to use. But boards do have the ability to differentiate and use different platforms. In terms of the evaluation, certainly we would be glad to bring an awareness to the committee in terms of how we're evaluating or our rationale in terms of adopting or not adopting certain apps in more of a generic way. It is, I will note for the committee's awareness, vetting an app is an intensely time-consuming process, and we will likely need to be moving to a practice that sees fewer apps added than before and continues to as I mentioned, narrow down apps and then rely on the updates from the app maker or app publisher for new features rather than seeking to continuously replace what we've been using. We feel that would create frustration for educators.
Okay.
Thank you, Bill. Penny, anything else?
No, I'm just, you know, I think back to students coming from other boards, and if there's no, like I said, boards can look differently, so I'm assuming we're, you know, as part of their transition here, depending on what grade they're in, part of their transition would be to get them up to speed on the tools used, I'm assuming, correct?
Through the chair, that would be correct.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
No problem. Thank you for letting us know you had those other questions. So I was just going to ask, with us implementing this in September, that really doesn't leave very much time for teachers to receive additional training. We have the next few weeks, I think it's less than 4 weeks before we're done this school year, and the teachers are off. And to my knowledge, their contracts would prevent them from committing to extra training unless it was a paid program, I suppose. But could you talk about that a little bit, Bill, about how teachers and staff would be getting prepared in those off months?
Thank you, and through the chair. In terms of our preparation plan or professional learning plan, we actually provide ongoing learning sessions for teachers even now in terms of the hub and teams if they are looking to shift away from something they've used and something that has been communicated wouldn't be available to them in September. So we will continue to provide support all through the month of June for teachers seeking to move. We've created a number of resources that teachers can also learn on their own if that is more their desire, and that could even happen over the summer. Through the summer, the board puts on what we call Summer Institute. There's usually a variety of different topics. For the program division, our focus through the Summer Institute would be blended learning and adopting board standard blended learning tools. So the institute is usually a series of one-day or two-day PD sessions early in July, so we're absolutely going to use that. We also know that we're also aware that depending on the nature of our startup, there may be additional opportunities to provide some learning to educators. Otherwise, although we're starting in September, I go back to the implementation plan, which talks about installation and awareness and beginning implementation, and our goal would really be if we're back into something that's approaching a regular school year, would be spending that year building educator awareness and awareness of the concepts and the core components of the strategy, but also building their sense of efficacy or their sense of confidence in using digital tools and teaching in a digital space as part of their regular classroom program.
Thank you, Superintendent Torrens. Okay, that is it for my questions. So with that, we will move to the negative vote. With that, we will move to our negative vote. So I will give you a moment. Is anyone opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion passes, and we will look forward to September and seeing this, the first initial steps taking place. All right, thank you for that report, Superintendent Torrens, and we will now move to item number 4 on the agenda, partnerships report.
Bill Torrens.
Left.
Hi, Becky. It's Sean.
Hi, Sean. So are you giving us a report this evening?
Yes, I will. Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity tonight.
Sean, can I just intercept for a second? Sorry. I was on mute, so through the chair. I apologize, Becky, it's Manny. Just want to set the context of this report, because every time we bring one of the strategic direction reports, I do attend, because these are the reports that the trustees have, are monitoring regarding your five strategic directions. Just a context for this, again, there was a report brought to trustees, I believe it was in December, that sort of highlighted what we did in the 18-19 school year and then our progress in the fall. And what you're going to see this evening is our report on what we've done so far in 19-20, as we are in June. So the goal for the partnership priority was that for all new and existing community partnerships to enhance opportunities for students. That's the broad goal. And our target was to increase the number of community partnerships aligning to school needs that we would increase by August 2020. And we have two key strategies. One was to implement a process to review and align our needs of schools and community partners. And we did that because now we have a database. And Sean and Amber will go into more details. The database is now up and running. And the second piece was to align our Hamilton Community Foundation for Student Success to support the focus on our high-priority schools. I will say that this has not, as you know, not been a typical year from labor job action to then COVID. So we have not met the target that's been set out here. But I don't want to underestimate the priority of trustees setting partnerships 4 years ago has served us extremely well, especially in times of crisis like COVID-19. So what I'm proud of the team, Sean and Amber and the department, have used the data they've had and made some shifts along the way. So although we haven't achieved our target, we've made some incredible progress on not only these strategies, but also some other things that we've learned during this that are going to serve us well into next year. So I just wanted to set the context of that. And because this is our last report, year five of our strategic directions monitoring reports. And in the fall, it's so important, as this team is going to be developing its board annual plan. And of course, partnerships will have an annual plan to it. We are actually going to wait till August, because we actually want to set a board annual plan that actually reflects the context we're going to be in the fall. And right now, we're not too sure what the fall will look like. So the August quarterly review for Exec Council will be reviewing all five priorities, including partnerships. Instead of just assuming the year was going to happen, by August, we'll know sort of more of the context. So I'll pass over to Sean and Amber to present the details of this report. So thank you.
Okay, so thank you for that, Manny. Just to clarify, when you speak of August, are you saying that trustees will have an email, much like Bill had mentioned, regarding 21st century learning, or is this a meeting of board that we would look forward to?
So through the chair, sorry for the confusion. No, every year, Exec Council reviews all the strategic directions reports, and we actually create the board annual plan for the upcoming year. So when you see the goals, the targets, and strategies, again, the trustees establish the priority of partnerships, and the goal is their goal. We review the target and strategies. I'm just setting the stage that when we bring reports next year, and we'll bring a schedule to governance in September, but when the Exec Council meets in August, we want to make sure that whatever annual plan we create for each priority will actually reflect the reality that we're going to be in. Typically, we start making those modifications in June or September, but with the uncertainty, we're going to finalize our annual plan for the 2021 school year in August. And, of course, then the reports will flow to trustees, and trustees will then be shared the board annual plan for myself.
Thank you for that clarity, Manny. All right, we can start now with Sean McKillop. If you don't mind bringing forward your partnership report.
Thank you so much, Chair. I'm really pleased to be able to present this report. I have a few guests with me. Amber Aquin is our engagement officer. I also have Amy Leeming-Cote, who is the executive director for the foundation, and also a special guest, Sharon Stefanian, who is here to talk a little bit about the Parent Voice Survey. So if we turn to the partnership report presentation, we just wanted to first start off with celebrations. And every time that we're able to present a strategic direction report, we always like to talk about the celebrations. And so while it has been a challenging year, and we were just with the program in December talking about a mid-year update, we did want to highlight some of the great things that did happen under the unprecedented circumstances that we were in. But really, thanks to the work of Amber and the whole communications and community engagement team, we were able to really experience some positive positive things for the community. So there's pictures there with I'm on the second slide. There's pictures there with a few of our administrators who had provided some nutrition during COVID from collecting nutrition items from schools. And so they brought it to Hamilton Food Share. So we created a partnership with them, and as well with a number of different nutrition partners, such as Food for Kids as well. We were able to celebrate a number of stakeholders in during Education Week, and we kind of called it Gratitude Week, and we really wanted to honor our partners during that week, so there was a special day dedicated to them. In January, Hometown Hockey came to Ancaster, and so it seems like so long ago now, but we were able to really celebrate that and work with our partner with Hometown Hockey to be able to provide that experience for the community. I remember that was a particularly snowy weekend, but we were able to support some great partnership work leading up to that celebration. The bottom middle, there was a photo opportunity that really celebrated a great donation from the United Way with some hygiene products. And we had a tremendous amount of hygiene products that were donated by the United Way, and we were able to distribute them and package them to schools to be able to provide them to students who needed the hygiene products. And in the other corner, we were able to go to Mohawk College, where we celebrated the being climate change leaders, and that was our board among 9 school boards who signed the COVID change leader chart there that everyone's holding, the declaration, our commitment to climate change, and so we were there as a board to celebrate that, and that was a really great moment for the board as well as pursuing our environmental stewardship. So those are just some of the celebrations. If we move to the next slide, that's titled Partnership Overview, I was really reflective as I prepared some of this with the team, and we've come a long way with partnerships in the last few years. And this partnership overview, while it's on the report, it really just summarized some of the work that we've been doing. We have now a 5 steps to partnership that this committee has seen. We have an email address where new partners can inquire. That kicks off our 5 steps, leading from application to what approach we're going to be taking with our partner, the alliance, what kind of relationship this is, to the approval process, and then to action, to give opportunities for new partners the chance to come and work with HWDSB. On the left-hand side, we have an image that is on our partnership's website, and all of those areas are key areas that we've been working on, trying to make it very customer service friendly to our partners to be able to look at opportunities to get involved with the board, and from anywhere from speaking, volunteering, to being an educational partner, running space, flyers, donating, or conducting research. Those are all the main parts of partnership. So we've really looked at creating a system, a structure for partnerships, and hopefully as we pursue this next part and what's detailed in the report, really looks at completing just the overview of partnerships from the perspective of the strategic directions and our commitment to that. On slide 4, we have just a slide of our strategic directions, and this has really been what we've grounded ourselves in terms of the last few years to try to build on strengthening our collaboration with new and existing partners, community partners, to enhance opportunities for students. And every year we seem to be building and building and advancing, getting one step closer to reaching this goal. So tonight we're going to go through the two strategies. The number of community partnerships that align to school needs, we are hoping to increase that by August 2020, and we'll share later where we are in terms of that target. So the first strategy, I'll like to turn to Amber Acklin, who's our engagement officer, who's been very closely connected to our first strategy, which is all about the needs assessment and partnership evaluation. So we'll turn it to Amber.
Great. Thank you, Sean. And hello, everybody. So I will be talking briefly about our needs assessment and partnership evaluation strategy, which is part of our overall engagement strategy. So really the intention behind this is to support the understanding of the school-based needs, as well as to evaluate the effectiveness of some of the programming that our partners actually deliver within those schools. So what this will look like is every year the schools will complete a needs assessment in September, followed by the partnership evaluation annually as well in June. So the goal of the needs assessment really is to understand school-based needs based on our areas of support. So some of these include things such as nutrition, mental health, well-being, and school administrators will actually rank their top three needs for that school year. And then moving into the partnership evaluation, this will ask administrators to provide feedback related to partner programs that operate at their schools during the school day. That's very important. And as well to reflect on the effectiveness of those programs really related to the needs that they identified in September. So this strategy will be embedded within the Continuous Learning and Improvement Roadmap, or CLI Roadmap, which is completed yearly by administrators. So if you are looking for further details on what the CLI roadmap looks like, that can be found in the partnership report. So to date, what we have done in this area is really explored opportunities to embed this needs assessment and partnership evaluation strategy into a platform that is pre-existing in HWDSB. We recognize the amount of work that our administrators do, so we wanted to make something that was embedded in the current structure, and that's where we landed on the CLI roadmap. We've also identified and met with three advisory schools who were able to meet with myself and provide feedback on the proposed strategy. And we have been able to meet with and collaborate with a number of HWDSB departments to, again, support the creation of this strategy. So just going back to the advisory schools, the positive feedback that we received from the schools really reinforced our goal of this, needs assessment and partnership evaluation strategy. The schools had let us know that they believed the process was quite straightforward. It allowed for more of a streamlined and strategic selection of programming for schools related to partners. And also at a system level, it really helps us understand school needs as a whole, as a board. We can use this data to properly support the needs that are identified through programming, through community connections, system opportunities, things of those nature. And then the evaluation piece allows for reflection on that effectiveness that I mentioned on behalf of the schools, and allows for consistent tracking of partners. So schools can now have a yearly check-in with the partners that they have operating. So next steps for this strategy, we have recommended to the director that the needs assessment and partnership evaluation strategy be implemented in the 2020-2021 school year. This is very important to note. This will be done in a flexible and responsive manner. This is dependent on the COVID-19 situation, of course, which we will be monitoring, and its impact on HWDSB. So we will be able to roll this out in a flexible manner that works for our schools in where we are at that time. And again, we will continue to work with the relevant departments to ensure that the strategy is fully developed and prepared for launch in the fall. So moving to the next point, Manny had spoken to this a little bit, the partnership database. So actually, as part of the needs assessment and partnership evaluation strategy,
The evaluation data that we will be receiving at the end of the school year annually will be pushed directly into the database. So this will result in more current, relevant, school-specific content related to partnerships. We will continue to redevelop the database to ensure that it's reflective of the questions that we are asking in that evaluation, so that that data transfer is seamless. And there are currently 190 unique partners entered into the database. So if we move forward to the next slide entitled Additional Information, we have been put in a unique position when it comes to COVID-19, but through this position, there has been opportunity. And our partners have been absolutely fantastic in working with us and being flexible in order to support our student achievement and well-being. So one of the things that we did through COVID-19 in response to the pandemic is develop a virtual partnership strategy. So we have developed this as a way to support the continued connection between our students and our educators and our community partners. And this has been launched just recently, and this is on our MS Teams, and it is entitled our HWDSU Partnerships Team. So we have created a team with the goal to provide students and educators access to some of the really unique and relevant resources and programs that our partners are developing currently in light of the current situation. So this content has been approved by HWDSB staff and will continue to be approved as it is submitted through the partnership team, and it can be utilized by the entire system. So our partners are developing resources that are appropriate for secondary students, for our elementary students in a variety of program areas. To date, select partners have been trained and have been onboarded onto our MS partnership team, and they are utilizing the system. I'm very excited to say this. They are sharing resources. They are scheduling meetings themselves. They are collaborating with HWDSB staff. They are really getting comfortable with the functions of the platform. And I'm very excited to say that we have been launching resources on that platform, so that's very exciting. And another important point to note about this is this platform has been created with the intention of being a long-term support strategy. So this is something that post-COVID we can still utilize as a platform to connect our educators, our students, and our community partners together. So that's very exciting. And then moving on to ad hoc committees, we have also been able to support a number of HWDSB ad hoc committees as we navigate the changing needs of the system. So some of these that we provided a high-level understanding for were Food for Families, Equity of Access, and our Grade 8 Graduation Ad Hoc Committee. So Food for Families really supported the creation and implementation of a distribution strategy to be able to supply electronic grocery store gift cards to our families in need. There were a few funding sources that provided the basis for these gift cards. Some of those include our President's Choice Children's Charity Grant that a number of our schools received, as well as Case Buds and currently the Hamilton Foundation for Student Success, which is another really exciting opportunity that I'm sure Amy will touch on when she presents. So something else, we worked with Case Buds. They provide great support in our schools. They provide student nutrition support in 67, 68 of our schools. They have actually redeployed those funds and allowed us to send electronic gift cards to our families. But not only have they been flexible in that regard, they have actually allowed us to take those funds and support non-Case Bud schools as well. As we recognize the need has changed and is continuing to change and evolve with our families, Case Buds has been, really flexible in allowing us to work with their funds to be able to meet some of those needs of our families. So we're very excited to announce that. As Sean alluded to, we have also supported Hamilton Food Share through food donations, but also through their food delivery program, ensuring that all of our departments are aware that this is available for our families and ensuring that we communicate this opportunity through the system. Our Equity of Access group has focused on deployment of devices and supporting families with things such as internet access needs. Our team heavily supported work around family reengagement, so really looking to support the connection between educators and students
particularly some of those students that educators may have had difficult times in reaching. And our grade 8 graduation ad hoc committee, we have supported through an advisory role and have contributed to conversations around structures for recognition and for things such as community supports and the way that our community organizations can support some of these recognition pieces. So I would like to flip to Sean, who is going to talk a little bit about the community partnerships session through bullying prevention and intervention panel.
Thank you, Amber. And just to complete this section, we wanted to highlight the important work that was done with the Safe Schools Bullying Prevention and Intervention Review Panel. There were two components that we were working with to support them, and one it was to provide them with information about our partners and to, one, have our partners attend a session specifically for HWDSB partners to be able to allow them to engage in a conversation with the panelists from their perspective. The other opportunity, there were 90 participants in that session. The other opportunity that we were able to do within this time with our partners was to be able to provide the communications and keep our partners engaged with information about the promotion of the Safe Schools panels, to allow them the opportunity to share our information with their clients. So those two specific pieces really helped the Safe Schools panel. It helped provide them contacts from a local level to support COJO Institute, and we're really pleased that we had such a positive response from our partners related to the Safe Schools panel. So if we move to the next section, strategy number two, I want to just say that I'm just really proud of the work that Amy Leeming-Cote has done with bringing the foundation to where it is today. The idea within this partnership strategy is to align the Hamilton Foundation for Student Success to support the focus on high-priority schools. And I'm pleased to say that this is really the first time that we've really brought in the foundation into a report like this. And there are certainly aspects that the foundation does, while they are a separate entity, that they are definitely helping to support the work of our students. And this report and our strategy for this year was to show that strong connection between the foundation and the school board and how the two relate to supporting students and removing barriers for our students. So at this time, I'd like to send this to Amy to be able to present on this section.